I wish. This is a binder. Yesterday, she said, my only problem with the bill is that it's harder for consumers.
Good morning. We're opening today's Revenue Committee hearing. We're going to take things a little out of order. I'm going to start with the public hearing and open a public hearing briefly on House Bill 2559 and explain that amendments on this. This is a large sort of a bill that corrects and aligns some things with federal changes, and amendments are not ready on this bill, and a similar bill is being teed up in the Senate. So with that comment, we're just going to sit on this bill for a while, and I'm going to close a public hearing on House Bill 2559. We do have a bill to be heard today, committee members, and so I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2351, and Mazin is here to explain it to us.
Chair Berger, members of the committee, House Bill 2351 is a pretty small bill, but basically what it does, it increases in its original form the fee that the county recorders or the county clerk's office charges from $10 to $20 on certain transactions, and that would go to the fund of the public land coroner. This is for the county surveyor's function. Now, the functions that are subject to this fee, I've included them in your SMS. You have ABC going all the way down to E and F. So those are an example of what the documents that are subject to this fee. There is a dash two, actually, amendment that came to us and included it also in your packet. And the dash two changes the fee from going 10 to 20 to going from to 10 to $15, so it reduces the increase by $5, and that's the bill.
Questions of Mazin? Well, we have some testimony this morning. I'd like to invite Fred Van Atta, and if you'd like to start us off, then I know there's a whole bunch of advocates and some others who will take them in order.
Good morning. I'm Fred Van Atta, appearing before you on behalf of the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon. First, I should note, as staff has told you, we presented amendments to reduce the proposed increase from $10 to $5. Unfortunately, there were some obvious political reasons for that. Unfortunately, even the $10 falls far short of inflation adjusting the fee to what it initially was when it was established in the mid-1980s. Today, it would take a fee of $21.57, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, to equal the $10 that was initially in this bill. The purpose of this fund is to pay the expenses incurred in the establishment, reestablishment, and maintenance of survey corners of government surveys. We refer to this as our local option jobs bill. This is not a state-mandated fee. This merely gives local governments the opportunity to raise the fee if they need the money to maintain the and improve the surveys in their county. Not all county governing bodies are charging the full $10 fee today because they don't need the money to keep their survey corners current. For example, Washington County and Multnomah County only collect $5 today, So the recordings in those counties would not be affected by this legislation. However, several of our major counties have made significant staff reductions in recent years. Lane County has reduced its survey staff from 6 to 2, Marion County from 8 to 4, and Lincoln County used to have 2.5 full-time equivalents, and they now have 1 part-time person because of the lack of funds in their public land corner preservation fund. This is a local fee, but I know my friends in the real estate and home building business think of it as a real estate transfer tax. And when their members think real estate transfer tax, they think it's awful. And they're correct when the money is diverted away from the infrastructure for the real estate industry. This fee is different. This money is used to increase the value of the real property in the county. Anyone who needs a survey to sell their home or divide a piece of property will find their expenses are less if their surveyor can find the necessary corners nearby. The money raised from this fee goes directly into the real estate industry, and we would strongly urge your favorable action on the bill. I note it's not currently scheduled for a work session, and I hope that you will plan to have a work session on it shortly. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Fred?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure whether you have someone who's planning to describe what this money is spent on. But you may be the person to ask. No, there's someone else who's going to answer that question. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Fred. I'm going to bring the next three up as a panel, if you don't mind. Greg Peterson, Gary Lee DeJarnett. Am I close? And Mike Jackson. Welcome. If you just identify yourself by name only before you speak, you can take any order or the order that I called you.
Okay. Hi, Chair and representatives. I'm Gary DeJarnett. I'm Jefferson County Surveyor. I've been County Surveyor since 1989, and I've been self-employed as a private land surveyor in Central Oregon since 1987.
You want to go ahead and give your testimony?
I'm here on behalf of this House Bill 2351. You know, this fund started in 1985. It was $10 then, and a lot, you know, it's been 26 years since then. And been pretty busy on the restoration of the public land corners. These corners were set back in 1880 over in Central Oregon, over here on the western side, probably 1850. So it's our job to go out and find these corners to help out the private surveyor to, you know, develop land and partition and subdivide. So it's really a great program, and that money that we have in the corner fund is used only for the restoration of the public land corners. So in Central Oregon, I met with Andy High. He's with the COBA, Central Oregon Builder Association, in Bend. Him and another surveyor, we met, gave him a little presentation, and he was really supportive of this. And that $5 increase will go a long ways. And then I have several realtors, Rick Coffin in Bend, Oregon, and a few others in Madras, Oregon, are very supportive of this. If you take $5 for a $500,000 piece of property, $5 can go a long ways when it's distributed, you know, amongst. And, of course, this $5, if you pass this at the state level, and then it's going to be up to the county commissioners to decide if how much of that $5 they want to add on to the 10. So once this passes, then each county surveyor goes to their governing body and say if we could increase it, and they might say, well, go ahead and raise it 50 cents. Or they might say, go ahead and go for the $5. So it's still going to be up to the each county to increase that. So thank you.
I'm going to have all of them speak and then invite questions, please.
Thank you. I'm Mike Jackson. I'm from Lane County. Chair Barnhart is my representative for Lane County. And thank you, committee, for allowing us to even come here. I appreciate you giving us this hearing. But I sent you all an email, and I did describe that I have had to lay off. It was altogether with six people out of my crew. And if we don't get another measure of increase, then I possibly could lose my one crew, which would completely shut down my operation in that area. So I just, I'm in favor of this. I've talked to the Home Builders Association in Eugene, and they are in favor of that. All of the private land surveyors that are practicing in Lane County right now are also in favor of this and asked me to let you know that. And so that's really all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Greg Peterson, and I, too, thank you for giving me the time. Unlike these gentlemen, I am not a county surveyor. I'm a professional land surveyor here in the state of Oregon, and I just wanted to come because I, too, feel it's very important. Saving, being able to restore and maintain these corners is not only a huge benefit to the survey industry, but by allowing those surveyors to be able to do their job more easily, it saves the public money too. So it's a benefit for everyone and will ultimately save money for the public in general. So, and everybody else has made all the right points, so that's all I'll say. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming. I have questions, and I think you have the same one, so I'm going to invite questions, and Representative Barnhart, I thank you.
Thank you. I would like a clear explanation for someone who has only a very vague idea of what a surveyor does, why what you do and why these corners help, how having the corners, what you do to establish a corner, to maintain a corner, and why a corner is important to a surveyor and how that saves money. I mean, you've claimed that all those things are true, but I have no idea how it actually is the case.
Yeah. If I could address that just from the beginning, I know when they had the original first 13 colonies, and then as the land was developed to the west, they had to have a source of revenue. So then what they did, they developed the rectangular public land system, and they made townships, each like 6 miles square, 36 sections each. So if you fly across the United States, you'll notice it's a pretty much north, south, east, west pattern. And then what they did is they set a corner every mile or half a mile, and they would take the stone and maybe mark it, and then they'd go to the next half a mile and set those stones. So those were set back, you know, like in the 1840s, 1850s, 1860s. By the time they got out here to Oregon, they developed it probably in 1850 to 1880. And that corner is so important. That corner, that section corner, that quarter corner could be tied to, like, say, maybe in one section could be tied to like 25 pieces of property. The southwest could be tied to that corner. And so it really helps in the location of the property boundaries and stuff. Because, you know, a piece of property is probably about our biggest investment. And if a surveyor has to go out there and find that corner, he could spend a day or two out there and he's going to bill his client maybe $5,000 if the county surveyor could get out there before the tractor moves and destroys that corner. We can actually save that corner. I brought a picture of a quarter corner. It has some marks on it, but I didn't put it for the exhibits, but I got eight of them here. But it's a picture of a stone that we found. It was set in 1880. This is the guy that set it in 1880, and he eventually worked for, I think, the Oregonian. And then when we find that corner and restore it, then we make a record of it and put it in there for the next person to find it. versus the stone that's sitting there all by itself. We'll put like a nice monument and put some references out there. And it really saves people the cost of a survey later on.
And if I could just add, ultimately every property sale is going to be tied to one of those original coroners in some way. And as they get older, they start to disappear. And once you lose them, you know, it's very time-consuming to put them back in. And so in one form or another, all their boundary surveys are going to be tied into those original coroners.
Okay, could I follow up? In the city, at least where I live, the lot that my house is on is determined by a plat. Is that tied into these coroners in some way? And if so, how does that work?
Yes, it is, Chair. Each survey and each plat is tied into one of these coroners. It's a state law. We have a statute that says each one of these government coroners shall be tied to a survey of that record. So if you look on your plat of your property, it will eventually go to that coroner. It's not real obvious, but it's there, and that's where you have to begin. If you own any piece of property in Lane County, I don't care where it is, in your deed, it'll have one of these coroners in it. You may not know what it is if you're not a surveyor, but that's where it begins. That's the very initial beginning point. So every property that you own has this corner, one of these corners attached to it. Some are deteriorating.
Thank you.
Yes.
So you've told us why these corners are important. How do you go about establishing them? Let's suppose that tractors come along and torn up whatever was there. It's gone. How do you go about establishing them? And you mentioned a monument. I assume you have to spend some money, not only for to find out where that corner actually is, but also to put the monument in place.
Yeah, you have a good point there. An example would be like a section corner that controls, you know, several ways. That if a cat came in and took that corner out, well, hopefully the county surveyor was in there before, or a private surveyor would actually restore that corner, put that in, and he would set out like four references by law. So the tractor would come in and wipe out the corner, but since we'd have a corner report that's filed in the county surveyor's office, they could put that corner back in without running, you know, 2 miles of survey to put it in. So there's really a big savings on these corners. Besides just setting the corner, we actually set out reference markers by law, and it really saves these corners.
Could you explain what the reference marker is?
And yeah, reference marker.
I mean, you don't have to go down to the end of the township.
Yeah, no, it could be a reference marker. Could be like a nail and tag with the surveyor's registration number on it. Like my number is LS2208. Nail it into the side of a tree, or set a monument and put our registration number on there. And then there would be a tie on it, like a bearing and distance from that marker. It could even be a fire hydrant, or it could be a power pole to put that corner back in. Instead of surveying up and down the block a long ways, by just a few little ties really, really saves.
So you can do a short tie in order to reestablish the location.
And that's corner. It's really a savings for the public.
Now, if I could follow.
Yes.
So you have staff in various counties all the time. Are there corners that your old corners from 1850, 1880 that you're still working on to reestablish this way?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've got pictures in my file here, but I got to...
What do your surveyors do with their time with the money that comes up from these fees?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to address that if I could, Co-Chair. We have over 12,000 government corners in Lane County. Actually, there's 18,000 if you count the federal land, and we do not go into the federal land. 12,000, and by the time you work through 12,000 of them, if you went back to number one again, it's been years, and they're already the weather or farmers or logging or something or development of some sort has probably taken some of them out. So you kind of start the process again. It's a never-ending issue with our corners. So We have a daily schedule of and areas where we go into, and we work these areas to make sure these corners are restored. We look on maps of recent development, and we make sure we're in there. Or we go into our planning department, actually, and we ask areas that are that they suspect will be developed. And we make sure we're in there ahead of time in order to help the developers and to mark these corners so they don't get tore out and they disappear by the contractors.
And if I could just add one more thing, because you brought up a good point, and you ask how they're restored. Well, a lot of times the original corners, they put out these same references. They may have marked a tree, but it is a real art to doing this. These guys that have learned to do this, it takes years to really get good at it, and to be losing these guys because there's not enough funding, I mean, it takes years to get trained again to be able to to do that research and that field analysis and stuff. So it is a big loss that they've had to lay off some of these guys.
And then I have one more, and then I'll stop if I may. So the money that comes from this fee is restricted only to this purpose, or can the county use the money for something else?
No, it's just for the restoration of the public land corners.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further, yeah, Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The as one who knows what happens when you don't have a correct corner and how expensive it is to go back in and do all of the deeds and more deeds and more deeds and more deeds to try to correct the mistakes when you don't have a proper point of beginning, the importance of the device is can't be overstated. Perhaps in following on some of the questions we've heard, you could say why we don't just use a GPS device and what it is that requires this type of formal establishment of in our public records of these corners, these points of beginning, if you will.
You know, I'd like to comment on that. I know when this corner fund came up in 1985 and we passed it, the county surveyors were busy for like 10 years going out and restoring these corners. And it was probably in 1995, I know we started that in Jefferson County, we performed a big GPS survey. And it built the database for the GIS that we have today. So thanks to all the county surveyors that went out there and remonumented good corners, the ones that aren't in question where you have two of them. And then when we GPSed it, we GPSed the correct one and then developed all the maps that we have right now here in the state of Oregon. So it was good. I don't know if that answered your question.
Follow-up.
Please.
What I was trying to have you address is the fact that the GPS by itself is not adequate, that you have to establish the point on the ground.
Correct.
And that is a concept that unless you've been without a point on the ground, you don't really get it.
Yeah.
And I have had situations where people cannot find those corners. They've gone back 20 miles, let's say, to try to find the corner and can't. Yet they want to sell the property. There's no point. There's no way to describe it. So what I'm trying to get at here is the Garmin didn't work.
Yeah.
That's what I want you. Am I correct in that statement?
Well, coordinates are good, but bearings and distances and the monument itself is the best evidence. So the surveyor, he wants to go in there and find evidence of the corner. There could be GPS coordinates on it that maybe somebody tied to it. You could use that to put that back, but it's kind of like the last resort.
About Madam Chair.
Yes.
The key here is that once established, everyone gets to rely upon it.
Correct.
It might not be exactly consistent with the satellite technology. It might be 10 or 20, maybe more off. But so what? The point is the point.
The point is the point.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Warren.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a brief comment. I think this is a core function of the counties, and I'm frustrated that we have to have a separate fee for the counties to fund something that is a core function. So I'm with you guys.
Thank you.
You know, I know what you do is very, very important and very valuable, and that's not a frustration with you guys. It's a frustration that we seem to be missing what's important in some of our government funding choices. So thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you very much, gentlemen. You've come, some of you, from quite a ways away, and we appreciate you're here to...
Thank you.
Thank you. And do you guys know about three surveyors and one other guy?
No.
Okay, that's Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore, three of those, Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln, were all land surveyors. They were county surveyors. And the other guy, Roosevelt, he was the other guy.
He is the other guy. So we have a national monument to surveyors.
Yeah.
I am so pleased to know that.
We actually had a national surveyors week here 2 weeks ago.
Thank you for coming, gentlemen. Jim Marquis, John Chandler, and Sean Gillian have something to say about this.
Chairs, members of the committee, I'm Jim Marquis, today representing the Oregon Collectors Association as well as the Oregon Mortgage Lenders Association, and I'll speak briefly for the United Financial Lobby. There's no question in anybody's mind that land corners are important, and we believe that as well, and in mortgage lending, they're critical. There are some policy considerations here that we would simply like the committee to consider. The question isn't, are land corners important? The question is, how do we fund the preserving of them, and where does the money go? Recording fees are an interesting phenomenon in this building. We record a lot of documents with the county clerk, and we record documents with the county clerk in every mortgage transaction and any time that property is being liened for collection purposes or the like. The actual fee that is paid to record documents to the county clerk is $5. That seems very reasonable, and about covers the cost of the county clerk for recording the document. But what happened in this building was that the recording fees sort of became the tax du jour, and everybody started coming to the legislature with bills that created surcharges on that $5 for varying purposes. And the Land Corner Preservation Fund, I believe, was the first, and that was established at $10 back in the 80s. But then along came the counties and said, well, we want another surcharge on these fees for $10 to help us with our assessment and taxation program. That was adopted. We passed a $1 statewide surcharge to help with a statewide mapping fee, mapping system, and that's a $1 surcharge. And then the latest one was $15 for low-income housing projects, so that the fee now is $41 in most counties to record a single-page document. And by the way, if you record a document, and then the document, in the case of a collection lien, and then the document, the collection is satisfied, you have to file the satisfaction and again pay the fee. So it becomes somewhat expensive. And as we look at this, I think the question becomes, is this the proper way to fund all of these programs, and who should really be paying for land corner preservation, et cetera? So we're concerned about the growing cost of recording, and with very little, I guess very little information about how much do these particular kinds of programs actually cost individual counties. You heard testimony today that many counties that are doing this land corner preservation for less than the $10, but yet we're going to raise it because one or two or three counties can't do it for 10. Well, don't we owe it to the state to at least ask, why is that? Why can one county do it for so much less and another county can't do it for that? So with that, I'll close. I just think that that these recording fees are getting a little out of control with all of the surcharges. So I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I think I'll let them all speak, and then we'll entertain questions.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association, here in opposition to House Bill 2351. A similar bill was presented last session to raise the fee up to $10. We opposed it. We did tell the surveyors, we're more than happy to sit down with them and talk about what the needs were. As Mr. Marquis indicated, we have some counties that aren't charging the current amount. Other counties believing they need more, we wanted to have some more information about, well, which counties need it, what could do they need exactly, and how can we, is there a way we could bridge this? We took this issue, and we didn't have that conversation, by the way, when this bill was being discussed, the one in front of you, I did take it to my board, and we had my government affairs committee, and we asked the question, are we supportive of, we understand the issue, we will take no backseat to anybody in our admiration of the survey industry and our need for it. Having said that, we're not particularly thrilled about being asked to pay for it, and we did have an open conversation at my board meeting, and we reiterated our opposition to the fee increase. And while I appreciate the efforts on the part of my previous panel of doing my job for me, we have 14 locals around the state. All of them are represented on my board of directors. Every one of them opposes this fee. I just confirmed that with Mr. Andy High at Central Oregon Builders by text after I heard that they've gotten squishy on me. They have not. We do not agree with the fee increase. We don't agree with any fee increases, right, generally speaking, although we did assist with the affordable housing fee a couple of sessions ago. What you have in front of you really is two related fields of endeavor who have both been squished by this recession. I understand the burden on counties. I understand the burden on departments of counties, including surveying departments. I would ask you to understand the burden on the real estate industry right now. Last year, we built around 5,000 new homes in Oregon. We will do a shade more than that this year. Not much. In a decent market, a regular market, not 2005 Yahoo, but a regular burst over deaths, divorces, marriages, household formation market, we should be doing between 15,000 and 18,000 units. We're doing less than a third of what we need just to replace existing housing stock. Our industry has been absolutely devastated by this recession. My membership has dropped from a peak of 5,600 down to 3,200. Most of my members are barely hanging on. They're selling homes, if they're selling them at all, at break even or below. It sounds silly. A fee increase hurts. It is noticed. It affects the business. We agree that surveying is important, obviously. We agree that it ought to be paid for, obviously. We do not agree that we should be asked to pay more for it, particularly where many, if not most, I don't know the numbers, Oregon counties managed to do the job within the $10 currently available to them. If it were up to us to be able, if it was available to revisit that $10 fee, we might do so, frankly, given the economic times, but we're not in that position. We certainly would ask you not to add to the burden that we are currently bearing. Thank you.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, Sean Jillians representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. I would just echo the concerns that my colleagues have stated about the document recording fee. We, in addition, have Mr. Chandler has 14 locals. We have 31 local associations, which are all represented on our board. While we do have members who are certainly supportive of the program, and I think as a whole, we are very supportive of the Land Corner Preservation Program, we don't feel like increasing the fee at this point in time is the correct thing to do. And just to run the committee a little bit through the transactions and what goes on there, I didn't have access to Mr. Marquis's lien filings or refinances from his association, but I did run some numbers from the transaction sales side of it. And in 2005, we had 131,820 transactions. A typical transaction, you have 3 to 4 documents that you record. That generated $3.95 million to $5.27 million. If every county was at 10 bucks. In 2009, we had 62,799 transactions, which generated about $2 to $2.5 million if we were at $10. So we're already looking at significant costs associated with this particular filing fee that we have in there. Mr. Chandler did mention last full session, it was increased $15. We were actually before you in support of that because it kept people in low-income housing. In the future, we'll generate some down payment assistance. But just keep that in mind when you're increasing the fee that it was just increased $15. With that, Madam Chair, members, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for this panel? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I'm sorry I missed the year of the first number, the 131,000?
Mr. Co-Chair, that was 2005. Better known as our glory year.
Okay.
That was the point in time when our membership was at 19,500. Our most recent numbers were just under 14,000. So we've lost 28% of our membership since the peak of the market.
And some of them aren't making any money. Could I follow up?
You mean some of the current members aren't?
Yes.
Could be.
Unfortunately, far too many of them, Mr. Co-Chair, are not making any money.
Yeah. I have some friends who are realtors, so they complain, and so I know about it. So you gave us those particular numbers because they represent a high point and a low point, I think. Is that accurate, more or less?
I would say they represent a high point in what we're currently dealing with, Mr. Co-Chair.
Right.
2009 is the last complete year we have the data for home sales.
Thank you. One more. If I look at the list that was provided by the Mazin, your associations only cover part of this list, don't they? There are other people who have to record things, or buy documents, or other things that we haven't talked about yet. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
I'm sorry, I'm done. Thanks.
Yeah, let me. If you'd indulge me, your association doesn't pay for these documents. The people who are recording them pay for these documents. The citizens pay for these documents.
Right. That's correct, Madam Chair.
I just wanted that on the record. Thank you, Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The need for a legal description on a real estate document seems apparent. What better group to pay the price than those who are having these legal descriptions used in the transaction they are engaging in? Who better to pay is my question. When it comes to legal descriptions as a universe, who else should we ask step up?
Madam Co-Chair, Representative Benz, we're already paying for it. We're paying $10 now. I don't quarrel with your assertion that the real estate industry ought to help pay for it. On the other hand, as was just pointed out, I don't have Mazin's list in front of me, but other citizens who file documents are also paying into this fund as well. So you've got a fairly, a relatively broad base of funding ability through the current fee. All we're asking you to do, as I mentioned, if I could talk about the $10 existing fee, I might do it. It's not in front of you. What was in front of you is an increase in the current fee, which is already being paid by the folks filing documents. That's what we're asking you to not do.
I'm sorry. I meant to preface that remark with the assumption that they need more money, so we didn't go off on the tangent you just took. My question again is, who better to pay? Or have we focused on the right group? We're just talking about the amount. If that's the case, I'd like to hear that.
Madam Co-Chairman, Representative Benz, I'm not sure I'll grant you your assumption.
Follow up. Then you need not answer the question. Do two of the other two want to address it?
Well, Chairs, Representative Benz, I'm not sure that the land corner preservation fee in every case is paying 100% of the land corner preservation. We don't know that because we don't have any information. I think part of our point here was that it would be nice to have some kind of information about what this activity costs in each county. There are only 36 counties. Wouldn't be that hard. How much is each county spending per square mile or per corner, or develop some kind of information about what this activity is costing with some kind of average? Because it seems that there is a wide disparity from one county to another about how much gets spent on this activity. So if there's no question but what there is a nexus between mortgage documents and the preservation of land corners, and certainly I don't quarrel with the fact that at least part of that activity ought to be paid for by the recording of those documents. There are a lot of other documents that pay the fee that have less nexus, I would say, like a lien on property.
Representative Benz.
Thank you. The answer I was hoping I would hear is that there are others, like all taxpayers, rely on those legal documents, well, do they not? Because don't they pay each of us our taxes if we own real property based upon? Why didn't I hear you point at the taxpayers as a broader group? Because each one of us have a real interest in having those legal descriptions be exactly correct. Is that, am I off on the wrong tangent here?
No, Chairs, Representative Benz, what I attempted to say was that maybe we ought to be paying, these documents ought to be paying part of the cost, and I was assuming that the general taxpaying public ought to be paying the rest. I'm sorry I didn't state that clearly.
And Madam Co-Chair, Representative Benz, since I whiffed on the question or misunderstood the intent, in the situation where the fee is not adequate, I would assume that the general fund, the county, the general public would pick it up, certainly, because there is a clear societal benefit to having accurate legal descriptions and accurate land corners.
Would you like to weigh in?
The only thing I would add, Madam Co-Chair, is I think you, Representative Benz, you had that sort of comment from Representative Wand when he was talking about how we fund certain things, and certainly county residents pay property taxes that go into the general fund.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative.
Well, Representative Benz was asking questions. I developed a couple more if I
know.
And I apologize. And I think there's a question for staff. I'm looking at the small print on the preliminary staff measure summary. And as I look at it more carefully than I did the first time around, it looks like the portion of the thing which must be sub 2, although it doesn't say that here, A through F, all refers in some way to real property. Even the death certificate one, the fee only applies when it's recorded in connection with a claim or interest in land. And then it goes on to sub 3 and says keep and maintain. I'm assuming, based on this fine print, that this fee only applies to instruments that are recorded that touch on real property in some way. Is that accurate, or have I misunderstood it?
Co-Chair Bernhardt, these are prescribed in law. This is what you would have in your ORS 205-130 as the transactions that are subject to the fees for the county clerk. So this fee basically says everything that the county clerk does out of those instruments would be tagged with that fee, not tagged, but to the ceiling of that fee. So there are other fees that apply to this list. So this is the list that the county clerk kind of practices, and the sub 3 going down, these are different job prescriptions, if you will, for the keeping and maintaining. This is by the county clerk. So A through F, these are primarily the recording by the county clerk for property, mostly. And you're right, the copies of the death certificates is for the ownership type of definitions for those.
Right. When there's a, if I could follow up.
Yes.
When there's a tenancy by the entirety, one of the couple dies, the death certificate's filed to prove that the other member of the couple now owns the property. As I understand it. Okay. You said primarily. I think that this list is entirely related to items that touch on real property. Have I missed that in some way?
Representative, the last one, it seems to me like the all of the above or none of the above.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Sub E under 3. Now, that's the records that they're supposed to maintain.
Right.
Is that a record that also is subject to the tax?
No. These are just the 3 down is the records that they're supposed to maintain.
Okay.
A through F is the one subject to the Now, I have a question, I think, for Mr. Marquis, if I could.
Yes.
So when you record a a debt. Somebody owes money, and you've got a judgment. You record that. The purpose of recording it is what? Why do you do that?
Chair Barnhart, normally a debt collector or a business who was owed money and couldn't collect it would sue the debtor
right.
in some county. Let's say they sue them in Multnomah County. They sue them in Multnomah County because the debtor lives in Multnomah County or the debt was incurred in Multnomah County, and they get a judgment from the court. That judgment is an automatic lien, if it's from circuit court, it's an automatic lien against all property owned by the debtor in Multnomah County. If the debtor, if the debt collector finds that the debtor owes, owns property in Clackamas County, the procedure is to transcribe that judgment or file a lien record abstract with the Clackamas County clerk, and it's entered into the county lien record. So it's to lien their property so that you would be paid upon this, usually the sale of that property. Generally, it's not executed against. But so it is property related in that sense, although it might be a debt from a credit card or something. But
right.
And then once the debt is satisfied, there's a recording required of a satisfaction.
Right. Okay.
And so in and out.
So you wouldn't record a lien in a county in which you got the judgment because the judgment itself stands for the lien.
That's correct.
And you wouldn't record it in a county where the debtor didn't own real property. There'd be no reason to.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming. We have a couple more folks who have signed up. Tom Quintal and Carl Clinton, if you'd like to come forward. Go ahead.
My name is Tom Quintal, and I'm the Director of Governmental Affairs for the Willamette Valley Mining Association in Salem. And I'm also the legislative assistant for about 8 mining associations in Oregon. There are about 5,000 members in that group. The reason I'm here primarily is I didn't hear our amendment that we put in, I think, some time back. And I think most of the co-chairs got a copy of it. And Paul Warner also does. I just spoke to Paul about why our amendment wasn't read, and he said, well, if the committee schedules another hearing, that amendment probably will be brought forward. What that amendment does, currently, we're already paying $10 for land corner preservation. The county surveyors do not survey federal land, but we're paying that fee. I guess we fell asleep years ago when that fee originated against some of our documents. The document I'm concerned about, and our amendment reflects, is ORS 517-210. That amendment requires all mining claim holders to annually record, not only by Oregon statute, but federal statute, the what we call annual proof of labor affidavit. And if we do not record that document, we lose our mineral property. Someone else can claim it, and we lose it. It'd be kind of similar to if you enacted a statute that said if you didn't do at least $145 on your property every year for improvement and record that document, you would lose your property. It's the same thing. And it's probably the only statute that I know of on the books now that requires annual recording or loss of property. So we're definitely concerned about making sure our amendment exemption is in this bill if it is scheduled and it is passed. I'm not sure how much What we did, just to give you a little insight here, we met with the Oregon County Surveyors Council meeting out in Kaiser, and all of the members present took a vote as to see whether they would oppose our amendment, and none did. So, and I think Greg here was one of the folks at that meeting. So that's kind of where we're at with this. I would like someday to bring a bill forward to exempt a lot of the fees that are on mining documents. We pay the fee when we do a quitclaim deed, a new notice of location, and so forth, a notice of intent to hold. We pay all those fees currently in all our recorded documents, but those are all optional. I mean, it's my choice if I decide I want to file a new mining claim. It's my choice if I want to do a quick claim and sell my mining claim to someone else. That's optional. But this ORS 517-210 statute is not optional. So that's where we're at from the miner standpoint. And basically, we're kind of neutral on the bill. I just wanted to make you aware of our amendment. And like I say, you should have it in your bill folder.
Thank you, Mr. Quintel, for coming. By way of explanation, I think that the reason that the other amendment came forward was because it reduced the fee, and is the bill has a certain fee number in it. This was a proposal that would be less, and I think we wanted that to come forward. It was not that we were hiding your your amendment in any way. Normally, amendments would come forward later in the process, but that one seemed kind of important because it had a lot to do with the size of the fee. But I appreciate your testimony that you are neutral on the bill. Mr. Clinton. Oh, you're Mr. Clinton.
I snuck in.
Yeah.
Members of the committee.
Would you like the microphone there?
Oh, yes.
But not too close. Keep it. There you go. Thank you.
Members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you about the Public Land Corner Preservation Fund fee cap adjustment. We already have the fee. I'd like to read you a quote from James Madison. It said, "The rights of persons and the rights of property are the objects for protection which government was instituted." This law is the only mechanism that's in place to fund this very important work. There's no other funding source, and the fee cap is 26 years old. There was no inflation built into it when it was originally created. You know, when is the right time to adjust a fee? You know, there never seems to be a good time. Any delay will just in updating this fee will just serve to exponentially increase the loss of corners and the cost to restore them as we go along. Currently, many of the programs in many counties are being strangled by inflation, as the original fee is worth less than $5 now. And by approving the bill, the legislature does not actually raise the fee. They only allow the counties or the local jurisdictions to consider their needs when they establish the level of fee that they need to sustain their appropriate level of restoration. And I think to address the question of one of the prior speakers is Multnomah County and Washington County, some of the counties aren't collecting the cap up to the top of the cap now, are more in maintenance mode. They started those programs earlier. I'm a private land surveyor. I'm getting a little bit toward the end of my career. I'm also deputy county surveyor for Clackamas County, and one of these programs is one of the programs that I work on very closely. We have, in Clackamas County, we have about 4,000 corners that are not in the National Forest. We have about 7,000 total. We have visited and restored and remonumented with a better monument. Typically, we try to put a subsurface monument in and one at the surface and four references, and then actually tie those with precise GPS. And we can measure GPS now to about the size of a marble. When we do that, we've done about 1,500 corners, and we have about probably 500 or 600 of them that we have GPSed. We've got another 2,500 corners to visit, and many of those corners haven't been visited for 50 to 100 years. And so it's in some cases a fairly daunting process. A couple of examples, and that you seem to have some questions about what we do with some of those, and I'd like to give you some real quick case examples.
Mr. Clinton, I see that if you'd summarize, you have them in your, I'm reading through your testimony,
yeah.
And these are, and we appreciate these, So if you just touch on them.
Yeah. We had a private surveyor come to us one time, and he wanted us to explain to him how to restore some corners and educate him about how to restore these. And I explained to him, we have this program. It's there. His client, to solve his client's boundary problem, he needed about five of these old donation land corners, and they hadn't been seen for 80 to 100 years. Mm. And we explained to him that all he had to do was make a request to us. We would go out there, investigate those corners, find them if we could, restore them, and then he could use those to solve his client's boundary problem. We wound up finding all of those corners. At least one of them hadn't been seen for over 100 years. But we were able to restore those. In case two, we had a very extensive survey. There was a survey problem in an area, and there was a corner that was a pipe there that people felt to be off. And we sent our crew out there, and a lot of their work is almost an archaeological dig, if you will. And they did a very extensive control survey, come back to a point near that pipe, cleaned the soil off, scraped it right down so it was bare soil, and here was a little dark circle. There had been a stone there at one time. They dug down through that dark circle. The original surveyor had the foresight to put what we would call a subsurface memorial in there. He had placed broken Chinese pottery underneath this stone. When they dug down through that dark circle, they found the broken Chinese pottery, and the pipe was 12 feet away. So we solved their problem. Another one is a large area up in Oregon City where we... Division Street goes down where the big hospital is up there, and it's been a historical problem. People have been trying to figure out where the road was for years. We went in there, and it was controlled by a couple of donation land claim corners and some plats. Well, we found that the one corner, there was a corner there, there was a stone there, there was trees that referenced this stone. The problem is it's been moving, sliding downhill, about 2 inches a year. It's about 15 feet from where it was in 1910. People go down there, you can't see it's moved. You go down there, you find the stone, I think I'm in the right place, and they take off and go. We figured that out from other monuments the surveyors had set back in about 1910. We can't go back to 1853 when it was originally placed, but we can get back to 1910. Another large project we did in restoring a bunch of work up in Oregon City area was digging under some old concrete roads, market roads. And we had corners that hadn't been seen for, and one of them hadn't been seen since 1890. We dug down 31 inches down through 7 inches of concrete, 7 inches of or 7 inches of asphalt pavement, 7 inches of concrete market road, about 12 inches of rock, and the corner was 31 inches deep. We found the original stone. Those are the kinds of things that typically the private sector can't do. They're very expensive to do. We now have all those raised to the surface so they can use those. What's happening if we don't get this fee increase, and I really support the $10 to try and get us up closer to where we were before. And part of our issue is Clackamas County didn't start the program until 1997. We were already behind the eight ball, so we have a lot more catch-up to do to try and get these corners restored. And we know that there's just shreds of evidence of original corners out there in parts of our county that we're losing a little bit every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Snuckin.
Mr. Snuckin. Co-Chair Berger, Co-Chair Barnhart. My name's Chuck Pearson. I'm the Clackamas County Surveyor. I'm the person that was responsible in 1985 for bringing this bill originally to the legislature.
You're the guy.
I have to point out to you that the Oregon Association of Realtors and the Home Builders Association both were in favor of the bill. They supported it. Now it's a fee bill, as they put it, and everybody is opposed to it. I understand that. But who among you would like to live on what you were making in 1985? I don't think any of you. And we have been very judicious in our money. We have built up reserves. Clackamas County, we will expend our reserve next fiscal year if we don't get some help. We will be out of money. That means that out of a staff of 8.5, I will probably lay off 4.5 to 5 of them. They will no longer have jobs. They will no longer be doing this work. Mr. Chandler made the point that he'd like to have a conversation about this. I think if you would think back to the time when we had the last bill in the last session, I did go to his office and I laid out the entire program to him. He said it makes sense, and I may be having faulty memory. I don't want to put words in John's mouth. I have a lot of respect for him, but I laid it out. One of the things that he said is, we don't have a problem with you spending this money or you getting this money because we trust you. You're a strong individual, and you can keep the county from getting to the money and using it for other purposes. But we have a problem with them sweeping the money out of the fund into other things, and part of that was the result of the trust funds that the state had set up that they evidently swept into the general fund of the state. There's a portion of the statute that says the money can only be expended for public land corner restoration as incurred and authorized by the county surveyor. The Board of County Commissioners can budget the money. They cannot spend the money legally. If they divert it to other programs, there's a portion of the law that says they become personally liable for that misappropriation of money. That means as individuals, they pay. The county cannot indemnify them. This is not a fee increase. That point's been made. Why is Multnomah County and Washington County charging a lesser amount? Multnomah County back in the 30s had the federal WPA come in and do all of the surveying and a huge amount of work, and they set permanent concrete monuments with large brass discs in them at that time. They were virtually done. They're in a maintenance mode. Washington County has been doing this program since before 1985 on a very limited basis. Since 1985, which is I was county surveyor there at that time, we had a huge program. We got all of the major corners done. They're in a maintenance program. They don't need to have crews out reestablishing another 1,500 corners or 2,500 corners as we have. There, besides inflation, and they've talked about the $10 fee as nobody would like to live in 1985 money, we've got the recession. In addition to that, there's such a thing called MERS, which is the Mortgage Electronic Registration System. I don't know if many of you are familiar with that. That means when I go get a mortgage from Chase Bank, which I just did, they recorded my note, and then they sold it to Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae did not record anything. There is no recorded document of that transaction. So there is no money that's being continually done. MERS is electronically keeping track of these mortgages. And this is why, if you recall, in Florida, there were a lot of people that were standing up saying, show me my mortgage that you're holding on, that you're foreclosing on my property with. And they couldn't do it. I don't know what the outcome was. I'm sure they had to pay or get foreclosed on, but those are some things that is done. Public land corners are section corners, quarter section corners. Every single piece of property in Oregon is dependent upon the location of one of these. The descriptions of property are dependent upon. A boundary survey is dependent upon. A new subdivision plat, which will add money to the county infrastructure and building permits and tax revenue, is dependent upon them. Without these corners, they will literally spend thousands of dollars, and not in every case, but in some cases, they'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to resolve it because the county can't do it for them. I can't remember whether it was John or somebody else that was up here. They wanted to know, what does this cost? In Clackamas County, sometimes a corner will cost $1,000. Sometimes it will cost $25,000. It is a huge, huge impact. This is, as Carl said, an archaeological dig. This is not just going out and finding a monument and polishing it up. It is digging for it, finding evidence in the ground. If you can't find that, then you go tie other surveys that probably tied it back in the 1900s, and you have to look for those monuments, which are very hard to find. You have to tie it all together, and you've got conflicting. This survey says the monument should be here, and this survey over here says it should be 5 feet away. Well, you can't say we're within 5 feet and expect the people to be happy with that. General fund paying part of it, I think we all know that's not going to happen. I can't compete with the sheriff or the health department or anybody else, my county administration. I can't compete with them. We aren't going to get any money. This is the only source of funding that we have. The federal government set the monuments for the settlement of Oregon. They settled according to these monuments. The federal government passed the responsibility to maintain these corners to the state. The state passed it to the county surveyors. Guess what? An unfunded mandate. We have no money from the state. I have no money from the county general fund. This is my only source. Without it, we're going to be out of business. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Representative Brewer. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question was posed and answered. Thank you so much for this as to why some counties do it lower. Multnomah and Washington County were two of the counties named that do it for less than the maximum amount because they're now in a maintenance mode. Not being a surveyor, it seems to me that there comes a point in time then in each county when all the corners are actually identified and located and then modernized, for lack of a better word. So on this increase, what are your thoughts on a sunset or some type of thing? Right now there's no sunset provisions in here, but a sunset for the legislature to revisit again in the future. What are your thoughts on something like that?
Chair Berger, Representative Brewer, I did a strategic plan in Clackamas County in 2008, so this is 3 years ago before the recession hit. At that time, I identified the fact that about this time, we're going to be out of money. We had thought about it at the county, and if we had increased the fee to $25 and put a tremendous effort into it, it would take approximately 21 years to do all the corners. These are not corners that you can go out and find something and set a new monument and be done and do three of them a day. Some of them take weeks to do. If the legislature would like to put a revisit date on the bill, I'm happy with that. We could make our argument again, but we will. This is not going to be something that will ever sunset into oblivion. It will constantly be in a maintenance mode. We've got road construction, sewer construction, subdivision construction, big new Fred Meyer store in the Wilsonville exit. Took out there's a donation land claim corner. They've removed it, but they advised us. We went in and referenced it. The state's doing a lot of work. We set references to it. The state tore out all the references, so we're back in there doing work constantly. This sort of thing will put a constant burden on the corner and will require some sort of maintenance. When I was at Washington County, I believe we set the fee at $10. We lowered it to $8. We lowered it to $6, and I believe it's either $5 or $6 right now. And we lowered it. But now Washington County's had to lay people off. So they need some more money, but it's difficult. It's not going to be easy to sell this to the Board of County Commissioners. But we can't sell it to them or even try if we don't get a fee authorization increase.
Representative Barnard.
Thank you. You're the guy who started this whole thing. Have I understood that correctly?
I'm Gilly, sir.
Okay. Let me follow up, if I may.
Please.
Can you tell us which counties are in this kind of situation that Clackamas County is in And which ones are in the kind of situation that Multnomah and Washington are in, if you know?
Basically, the two that are in the real maintenance modes are primarily Multnomah County and, to a certain degree, Washington County. Most of the corners that they need to reestablish are out in more rural areas. They're just as important to those people. The rest of the counties, you go to Lake County, and they don't have any money to do anything with. They get very little money because there are very few recordings. The rest of the counties are in need of funding. The primary counties where the work is being done, the development is being done, is Deschutes County, Clackamas County, Marion County, Yamhill County, up and down the valley, clear to the California border. All of these are programs that are in disarray. They're in danger of being reduced to the point there will be no effectiveness to them at all.
Okay. Yes, one last follow-up. What happens, if you know, when to real estate, the value of real estate, the ability to transfer real estate, if you can't figure out where the boundaries are?
Chair Berger, Representative Barnhart, there's lots of things that happen. I don't know if you recall about a year ago, there was a 70, 75-year-old lady in Vancouver that got in a dispute with her neighbor over a fence line and shot at him. I can tell you, in Oregon, there have been deaths, people killed over fence line disputes, boundary disputes. A lot of those are anecdotal. I can bring you documentation of two people killed over a property dispute in California. I mean, guy went back to his house, got a gun, came back out, and shot two people because they were disputing.
I have a different question.
I'm sorry.
My question, if I could, Madam Chair, my question really is, what does it do to the value of the land? What does it do to your capacity to transfer the land to a purchaser? If you can't figure out exactly what land it is you're transferring.
Representative Barnhart, I can transfer by deed anything. I can transfer a piece of property that has no description, and there are such things in Oregon. The value is, how do you put an improvement on the property without a proper boundary survey? How do you put a fence line on your property without a proper boundary survey? If I was buying a piece of property, I would insist that it was surveyed before I bought it.
Yeah, thank you.
Without that, it just goes to pieces.
Thank you. Further questions from this panel? Thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming. Anyone else back there that feels they want to weigh in on land corners? One of the things I love about this job is you learn things about things that you didn't know you didn't know.
Well, Madam Chair, just a comment. It as we've been listening this morning, I didn't know anything about corners or surveying, but as we've been listening this morning, it became obvious to me that one of the primary functions of the government that we just take for granted is to actually define who owns what piece of real estate.
Hello.
I hadn't really thought of that before in that way because it just happens. Well, it doesn't just happen. Obviously, we pay for it in some way or another.
No, and there's interesting history in here. Thank you. Thank you all for coming, and I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2351. Members of the committee, we have a couple of work sessions before us that I presume we have all the proper documents, so I'm going to open... Huh? Which one?
2179.
Okay. House Bill 2179 apparently is teed up and ready to go, and I'm going to open the work session in House Bill 2179. This, my friends, has to do with the...
Selwood Bridge.
This is continuing with
nothing to do with the Selwood Bridge.
No.
It has to do with...
A bridge over the Willamette.
Right. And I believe we have amendments. Mazin, do you want to remind us of where we were on this?
Chair Berger, members of the committee, we had the Dash 3 amendment, and the Dash 3 amendment you adopted yesterday And the, that's the amendment. What it did to the to
it
the
was the double whammy.
It was the double amending of the double amendment that was originally in House Bill 2001.
Right.
And that brings back the language that was double amended the first time, puts it back in, and then takes it back out later on in time, and rearranges the effective date for those double amendments from the 2013, take it out, and then put it back in.
And we did move the dash three amendments, and we have all the fiscal.
We do, Chair Berger. We have a fiscal of a minimal expenditure impact for the dash three amendment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move House Bill 2179 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bailey moves House Bill 2179 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I will call for a roll call vote.
Aye.
Representative
Gelson. Aye. Representative Reed. Aye. Representative Wan. Aye. Representative Bailey. Aye. Representative Brewer. Aye. Co-Chair Barnhart. Aye. Co-Chair Berger. Aye. The measure carries. Let's not put it on the consent calendar.
How did you know I was going to say
just
that?
Having a little fun here. Representative Bailey, would you like to carry this bill?
I'd be happy to, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee members. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2179, and we are still waiting for further amendments, I understand, on the other one, so we will carry over House Bill. I'll open a work session on House Bill 3261 and carry it over till tomorrow. And hopefully by then we will have all the proper paperwork. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3261 and adjourn today's Revenue Committee meeting. And thank you all very much.
Thank you.